We've got Jeff Bellin, who is an assistant professor of law at the SMU Dedman School of Law, who's going to join us in just a second here. And then your reaction at 214-787-1570, 214-787-1570, toll-free 800-583-1570. Professor Bellin, thank you very much for joining us live on 570 KLIF here on the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Okay, so you believe the media had it wrong the whole way through. Tell us why.
Well, my thought on that was that I thought the media was jumping to the conclusion that she would be convicted, and from what the evidence appeared to me to suggest was it was a much closer case than the media was suggesting. I was not surprised that the jury came back not guilty on the major counts.
Well, I mean, you know, isn't the threshold for manslaughter, for example, much, much lower? I mean, my gosh, why couldn't they at least get manslaughter?
Yes, the way you have to look at this case, though, is you know, what evidence did the prosecution have to prove kind of the essence of the illegal act here? And the illegal act that they were accusing her of, either as premeditated murder or as aggravated manslaughter, was that she did something to kill the child, that she either intended to and then went and killed the child, or, you know, with the manslaughter, it could be a lesser form of culpability, like she did something you know, criminal, or maybe not intending to kill the child, but did something wrong,
right,
that led to the death of the child. And the problem that the prosecution had throughout this case is they really don't know what happened. They don't know how the child died. And because of that, you couldn't say, well, I think the way to interpret the jury's verdict is they couldn't rule out the possibility that there was an accidental death followed by, you know, bizarre behavior on the part of this woman and her parents. But because the prosecution couldn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it wasn't an accident, that ruled out both the first-degree murder and the manslaughter, because the manslaughter, although it's a lesser form of a crime, still requires some intentional misconduct, or at least some culpability, like, that you did something wrong, that it wasn't that the child fell and went into the pool and drowned.
Like drinking and driving, and you killed the child, that, you know, in a crash. You didn't mean to kill the child, but your negligent act begot the death of this child.
Exactly, and it could be, you know, it could be even lesser. I mean, it could be something like, you know, you constantly are leaving the pool gate unlocked,
right,
and eventually the child goes out, and, you know, that could be the most extreme form of it, where you didn't do anything criminal, and you didn't do anything intending for the child to die, but you still did something that the law is going to punish you for. Here, we just don't know, and because of that, I mean, you know, people, I think, you know, I have, and you have strong views about what probably happened. The prosecution just didn't have the evidence to back that up, and that was the problem in the case.
So you don't dispute the fact that that most of us think, and you don't argue with that about us thinking there's no way this woman isn't guilty. You're just saying, legally speaking, there's just no way they could have convicted her on these counts.
And I share those views. I mean, it's just not, this behavior doesn't make sense to the average person. But even when you hear people talk about people that feel very strongly that she's guilty, if you listen closely to the language, often it's, you know, she's guilty of something, or, you know, it's not totally clear that even people that feel that she should have been convicted are convinced of exactly what happened. And that's what was unusual about this case. Usually, even when there's a dispute about what happened, the prosecution has a theory of exactly how things played out. And just the hard part of this case, what was difficult about this case from the beginning, was they were admitting, we just don't know, the prosecution, we don't know what happened, but judging from what happened afterwards, we want you to agree with us that it was an intentional killing.
What did everybody get wrong about this?
Well, you know, my sense of what the media was doing wrong, and some of the experts that I saw, was, you know, saying things like, the jury should convict here because someone has to pay for the tragedy that happened. And that's a perfectly understandable human impulse, and I can understand why people would want to apply it to a case like this. But you have to think about it across the justice system. That can't be, you know, how our justice system works. We have very particular rules about what the law is and ways that the prosecution has to go about proving that someone's violated the law before we're going to do something like take a defendant's life or put a defendant in prison for 30 years. And even if you don't agree with the application of that standard to the facts here, you know, that's a good standard that we have. It's kind of the jewel of the American criminal justice system. And what it means is that occasionally people are going to be unhappy with the results, but over the long term, it's going to also kind of do justice in some cases.
Professor Jeff Bellin, assistant professor of law at the SMU Dedman School of Law, thank you for joining us, sir.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Now,